I want to share something personal with you tonight from my home. I'm sorry that I couldn't be with you there. I left yeshiva about 6 o'clock. I'm still honestly a little exhausted from the wonderful, wonderful Shabbos that we had together this week in yeshiva. And I guess I'm not as young as I used to be. It was easier to speak like that and then to have a week. But Baruch Hashem, still catching my breath from a really, really exciting Shabbos together. But I did want to share something. I thank Rabbi Schnall for reaching out to have me part of the Adar celebration and to get us focused for a very unusual Adar. It will not be the most unusual Adar of our lives. Last Adar was the most unusual Adar of our lives. But last Adar, we were unprepared. And this year, we need to be prepared. Last year, we weren't sure. We didn't know what to do. In fact, we didn't know what we were facing. This year, we know to some extent, and we need a plan. And that's what I'd like to try to share with you for just a couple of minutes this evening. You might be surprised to find out that I did not go to Eretz Yisrael right after high school. I was a Talmid in the Heliga Frisch Yeshiva in Paramus, New Jersey. And I had as my life dream to spend some time in the shir of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zatzal, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, one of the Rosh Yeshiva at the Gush. And I reasoned that if I would go to Eretz Yisrael right after 12th grade, I would probably not get into Rav Aaron's shir. Because Rav Aaron's shir was for Shana Hay, Shana Zion. I didn't know letters high enough to go how high it would be to get to Rav Aaron's shir. And I figured if I went to Eretz Yisrael right after high school, I'd stay Shana Aleph. I'd stay Shana Bet. I probably would not get into the shir in Shana Bet. Shana Gimel, okay, Shana Gimel. But those days, you didn't stay Shana Gimel. It was totally not shayach to imagine staying for Shana Gimel. So I hedged my bets. I stayed home for 1 year. I joined Rav Tursky's shir, which at the time was a shir, his first year teaching in the college. He was teaching young fellows. Those days, the shiurim were a little bit different based up on age. He was teaching younger fellows in the college. He had just come up from MTA. No one told him that the guys in YU didn't know that much more than the guys in MTA. We learned Maseches Shabbos that year. And he basically had us learn the entire Maseches Shabbos. I had covered about 12 blot Gemara at that point in my 4 years in Frisch. And we were basically assigned to learn Maseches Shabbos. Baruch Hashem. It was a transformational year for me. I was able to go to Gush the next year and stay. And the bet paid off. I was able to be in Rav Aaron's shir. When I was in YU for that first year, I was pre-med. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a doctor. I'd always been fascinated by the human brain. And I had done some research already in 12th grade into Alzheimer's. And although I was involved in NCSY and speaking and things like that, I figured I probably wanted to be a doctor. Because even though you can help a lot of people through speaking and through rabbiing, you got to have a real job. So I figured I'd be a doctor. And I started taking pre-med courses in YU. And so there I was. And I guess I could have been a good doctor. I would have hopefully accomplished something. And there are many, many wonderful doctors. But in my 2 years in the Gush, and especially through the times that I got to hear of Lichtenstein, my plans changed dramatically. And one of the most powerful days for me was Tainus Esther in my Shana Aleph. Rav Lichtenstein had a habit of speaking very, very strongly on Tainus Esther about Avodas HaKodesh, pushing the fellows in the yeshiva, both the chutznikim and the Israelis, to consider a life in Avodas HaKodesh. And that year, he told over the story of the fourth perek of Esther, which was later written up in By His Light, Sefer of Lichtenstein's writings. And Rav Lichtenstein almost every year would reference somehow Esther, would reference something, but that I'll never forget sitting there and hearing what he said. Rav Lichtenstein asked, why is it that the Megillah is called Megillas Esther and not Megillas Mordechai and not Megillas Klal Yisrael? Why Megillas Esther? And Rav Lichtenstein suggested that it was not simply the story of the Jewish people and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save the Jewish people. It was the story of a Jewish people that had changed, and that change was represented in no one more than Esther. If you look at the beginning of the Megillah, Esther is a completely passive figure. Esther is under Mordechai's wing, maybe his daughter taken in, maybe his wife, but certainly a very passive individual, an orphan girl. When she goes to the palace, she requests nothing. She seems to be the essence of simplicity. She doesn't tell anything about herself. She has no ego. She has no sense. There's nothing about her. And that continues even after the Gzeira of Haman. We don't know exactly what she knew and what she didn't know. Mordechai is the one who gives her the actual piece of paper. Had she heard what Haman had said, what Haman was planning to do? But when Mordechai comes to the palace gates, Fatit Chalchal Hamalka Ma'od, she's flustered. She doesn't know what to do. She sends him out clothes. What are you doing? Sackcloth. This is the king's palace. What are you doing? Back and forth through a messenger. He tries to get her to be taken out of her complacency. He tries to get her to do something. Rabbi Soloveitchik famously pointed out that Mordechai didn't know what to do. His plan that she should march right into the king and talk to him was probably not going to work. It took the bina of Esther to know exactly how to turn this plan into something that would work with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not the brilliance of Esther that we celebrate. It's the transformation from Perek Dalid and Perek Gimel to what she becomes by the end of Perek Dalid. Mordechai somehow has transformed her from a passive agent, from someone who doesn't admit, asked to do that, doesn't admit that she's Jewish, doesn't seem to reflect her values on her sleeve, to at the end of the perek, she is moving history. She's moving history. She's already telling a Lech Kenosis, Kol Hayud, Lech Kenosis, Kol Hayudim. She's gone from a young lady who is passive, who is acted upon, who's taken to the king, to suddenly giving by the end of Perek Dalid instructions to the entire Jewish people. Lech Kenosis Kol Yehudim. I'm going to go in. I'm going to do this. What happened? Mordechai takes a very, very interesting tack. He doesn't say to her, you don't have the courage to do this. He doesn't say to her, you don't want to do this. He says, Vayomer Mordechai l'hashiv el Esther, al tedami v'nafsheich, lihimaleit beit hamelech mikol hayehudim. You, Esther, you think that everything is going to be okay. You think you can just stay in the palace. You think you can remain there. You think you could sit in your apathy. You think it doesn't matter what you do. You're wrong, Esther. Umi yodea im la'et kazot higa'at l'malchut. Maybe that's what you're doing in the palace. You can do something. Esther can't imagine that she can make a difference. Esther can't see a scenario. She can't see a situation why she can help. I haven't been called into the king for 30 days. Don't you know this man? He's nuts. He's crazy. If you come without an invitation, he'll kill you. There's nothing I can do to save the Jewish people. Rav Lichtenstein, screaming, told us there is something you can do to save the Jewish people, and there is something you can do to help the Jewish people. And he got so many of us to think about what we could do to contribute and the role that we would play. It's very easy as a Shana Aleph guy to imagine, what can I do to help the Jewish people? But on that day, I began to think differently about what every one of us and what my friends could do to help the Jewish people. On Shabbos, I spoke about the beauty of a life in Avodas HaKodesh, the beauty of a life where you'd be surprised. You possibly can be a rabbi. We have such incredible awe of our Rebbeim that we forget, that we have to ask ourselves, what is our role and what can we do? But I'm not here now tonight to talk as much about Avodas HaKodesh and a decision for our life, but a decision for the next 2 weeks. Because there is something that you can do. Esther imagined that sitting there in the palace, what did she have to do with the rolling out of history? Everything was going on around outside of her. She couldn't envision a scenario where her actions would lead to a change in the world. It was a time of crisis, but what can I possibly do? It's happening. It's happening around me, says Mordechai. Don't imagine you could just sit inside. What he told Esther was that you don't have to completely understand how your hishtadlus is going to create a Yeshua. Don't tell me that it's impossible. Your role, Esther, is not to figure out how this makes sense and how you could possibly save the Jewish people. Your role is to do what you can from where you are. You're inside, you will have to try to save the Jewish people from in there. And the fact that you don't see right now how one step can lead to another and one thing can make a difference, that's not your job. Your job is not to finish. Your job is not to figure out how things happen in the world. Your job is to act. Your job is to do what you can. Mordechai is not asking every one of you to risk your life over the next few weeks to try to help a world that's falling apart. Not asking you to risk your life. He's asking you, what can you do? The message of Purim, the message of Adar, is that every one of us is empowered to save the world. Every one of us is Esther. Every one of us imagines that there's nothing that we could possibly do. How could anything I do make a difference? There's a global pandemic. Things are going on outside the palace. I tell you, not so good with the transliterating to whatever. I got to go back to Hebrew 12:03. Don't imagine that you can't make a difference. This Adar, we call upon the Talmidim to try to make a difference in a way that only you can. In a way that only you can. To stay safe. To continue to stay safe and to learn, to make this Adar, the days that lead from now until Purim, a time of tremendous learning so that we can help push the needle forward. We're not medical professionals. We can't do our hishtadlus in that way. But don't imagine there's nothing you can do from inside the palace. Every one of you has the schus to be inside the palace of the Beis Medrash. Don't imagine that from inside that Beis Medrash that you can't make a difference. Esther understands what Mordechai has to say. Esther understands that our job is not to figure out exactly how one thing is going to lead to another, but to do what's in front of us. It's 2 weeks till Purim, Rabbosai. And often the time that leads up to Purim is the beginning of a time of little esrashlus, fun thing, Purim. We spend more time sometimes putting up the streamers than we do studying. Not this year, Rabbosai. This is Gzeira. We're already seeing the effects of the Gzeira. The Gzeira is not coming in a year. The Gzeira is out there. And every one of you can play a role. Our yeshiva can play a role. How will I explain to you how if we push ourselves, and if we add to Night Seder, we're going to be doing Ma'ariv at 10:10, I believe, 10:15, 10:10, a little bit later like we do during Elul, because we're going to push ourselves. How is that going to make a difference? That's not your problem, and that's not my problem. That's the Ribono Shel Olam's problem, to figure out how to make this pandemic go away. But the message of Adar, the message of the Megillah, the reason why the Megillah is called for a single woman who thought she was nothing is because it's upon every one of us in the month of Adar, it is upon every one of us at the time of Purim to ask, not how can I fix it myself, but what is my job? What is it that I can do? And together, together, all of the Esthers can result in a Geula. Not asking tonight, I'm happy to talk. We had a beautiful discussion about what you can do for the Jewish people for the rest of your life. Let's figure out what we can do for the next 2 weeks. This is an Eis Tzarar. It's hard. It's been so long. It's hard to keep going strong. It's hard to keep staying safe. But it's an Eis Tzarar. This is a critical year for us to do what only we can do from inside the Beis HaMelech to continue to learn. Let me say just one more thing. Please, let's make this Purim different than other Purims. Don't have a Purim Suda that'll put your health and the health of other people in jeopardy. Do not do that. I know that it's very difficult to imagine doing Purim without the Suda and the guys. And last year we did it. We did it. It was stupid, but we did it last year because we didn't really know what we were up against. Right? That story in Beitza of the fellow who forgets to make the Erev Tavshilim the first year. And he goes to the rabbi and the rabbi says, okay, I had you in mind. And the second year, he says, oh, I forgot again. And the rabbi said, you're a posheya. You're a posheya. Don't say shomer pesoim Hashem. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. We don't have a pasuk that says shomer poshim Hashem. This year, if we keep a normal Purim, we're begeder poshim. It's a pshia. It's a pshia. And I know that it's difficult to imagine having a Purim. And I know that you'll argue that, what does that mean? So what am I going to do for Purim? You're going to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's what you're going to do for Purim. You know, when you fast on Tisha B'Av, nobody looks into your motives. There's no other reason to fast on Tisha B'Av. You fast on Tisha B'Av because of the Mikdash. Nobody's a Havamini. You're fasting on Tisha B'Av because maybe it's a good weight loss program. Maybe you don't like food. You're fasting on Tisha B'Av because of Tisha B'Av. Why are you partying on Purim? We all have a little more fun on Purim than we do the rest of the year, and we enjoy it. The question is, are we doing Purim for us, or are we doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are we even at all doing it for us, or are we doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? On a typical year, there aren't so many nafkaminas between doing Purim for us and doing Purim for the Ribono Shel Olam. But this year, it makes all the difference. I know it's difficult to imagine having a Purim without the Suda and the guys and the drinking. But ask yourself, if you do that, are you doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu or are you doing it for yourself? Am I taking the liberties on this day? It's the year that's really going to tell, why did I do it all the other years? This is a year that there's so much we can do on Purim. We can give Matanos Lev Yonim to people whose lives have been ruined by the pandemic. We can give Mishloach Manos to people who have been home now, who haven't stepped out. We can make sure people have Seudas. We can make sure people have Megillah readings. During these 2 weeks, don't just study Torah. Learn the Megillah if you haven't learned it yet. You know how many Megillah readings we're going to need to get to everybody? There's so many special mitzvos on Purim. But not the usual partying. Wouldn't it be ironic? We celebrate Purim because someone felt that it was okay to kill Jews. Let's not spend Purim killing Jews, Chas v'Shalom. Be a very, very strange way to celebrate Purim if we did things that led a few weeks later to loss of life, not in your home, not for your father, not for your mother, but your friend who you gave it to and their parents and their grandparents. This is a very, very special Purim. It's an Eis Lasos Lashem, not an Eis Lasos Lanu. It is so difficult to keep this up. It's so difficult to continue to put our lives on hold, even to put our Purim, our precious Purim, we love Purim so much, But make this a Purim where we all step up to the plate. Make this a Purim where we do what we can do. If this Purim, we spend time learning instead of partying. If we spend time davening, when's the last time you davened the normal tefillah on Purim? Normal. Any half normal tefillah. Myra, if you're rushing and it's coming in, the morning you're too tired to daven. Mincha, forget about mincha. When's the last time you davened in a normal way on Purim? What if this Purim, we strengthened our tefillah, we strengthened our Torah, and we said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what you want. Could you please do what we need you to do? Can you please put an end to all of this madness? Mitzvah Hashem, next year, we'll have a wonderful Purim, not even in the Heights, but in Yerushalayim. But in the meantime, don't forget how important you are. Don't forget how much you can do. Don't forget how much good you can bring by pushing yourself over the next 2 weeks. And don't forget how much destruction you can bring if you're not careful on Purim Day. It's the Megillah of the individual, the Megillah of the Yachid, for every one of us. HaKadosh Baruch should give us the koach to recognize our own strength, to recognize our own weaknesses, to recognize the good, chas v'shalom, the opposite, that every one of us can do. Mirtz Hashem, we'll have a wonderful other. Probably going to sing a lot less than the past. Probably going to party. And I'll have to say, we'll probably drink a little less than we ever did before. But this might just be the most important Purim of our lives. Good Chodesh and a good Shabbos.